He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday. It's Fed Decision Day. So fasten your seatbelt. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. This is the Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds, and it looks like stocks definitely the place to be so far after several better-than-expected earnings reports after the close last night. And right now we have the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 139 points. That's 0.4%. Actually, it's up 105 right now. The Dow has dropped back a little bit, but it's at 31,866. The real action taking place at the NASDAQ. I have a brand new article out this morning on Seeking Alpha about the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ's up 256 points or 2.22%. It's at 11,818 as Microsoft and Google, also Texas Instruments, came in with better than expected earnings. And the NASDAQ is the star of the day. S&P 500 up 1.1%. It's up 43 points. 3964, closing in on 4,000 once again. The small caps up 0.6%. Crude oil up $1 to $95.99. The energy stocks a little soft today. Gold down 670. The 10-year at 2.77, but we have a severely inverted yield curve currently. Sure, the Fed will mention that today. Bitcoin up 482 to 21,446. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now / Inverse Funds Now show. Today's stocks lead the way. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual nationwide firm. I have a fresh article just released on Seeking Alpha this morning. It concerns the NASDAQ, and it also concerns the S&P 500 and the Dow. So you might want to check that out at SeekingAlpha.com, where I continue to be one of the top 2% of all of the writers out there for them, trying to deliver alpha when I can, when and where I can. We have a good start to the day. This is Fed Decision Day, okay? This is not going to be a day that's just normal trading. It depends on what the Fed says. You know, everybody expects them to come in with the three-quarter point hike later today. But it's really that press conference afterwards which seems to really move the market one way or another. We had a very bad day in the market yesterday. Walmart sent out a warning. Walmart had its biggest down day in a long, long time. It was down almost 9%. That's a lot for a company the size of Walmart. And, of course, it spooked. It scared the retail sector, the consumer discretionary sector. Walmart's big issue was cost rising and not being able to pass it along to their customers. Who knows, maybe they had the wrong kind of merchandise also, but Walmart's margins are going to be squeezed. That means their earnings will be squeezed. But after the close last night, we had some better-than-expected earnings reports. And we'll get into those a little bit more here. I have said that this earnings season is going to hold the key to where this market goes from here. I liked the first week of earnings season was poor. The last week, the second week of earnings season, I thought was much better. And I said it looks like the trend now is for a decent earnings season. And so far, this week is going pretty good, except for the Walmart warning. We have several companies reporting last night. That's driving the market higher. Now, what the Fed says later today could kill the rally. If they come in at 1%, a 100 basis point hike, we do have a precedence for that. The ECB came in at 75 basis or 50 basis points recently. They were only expected to come in at 25. So there is an outside chance that our Fed comes in at 100 basis points. I don't expect that, however. We'll see. Okay, the oil stocks also had a very good day yesterday and the day before. They're a little bit on the soft side here today. Federal Reserve poised for another 75 basis point rate hike. But the question is, what is next? Okay, since the last meeting, we've had a CPI report of 9.1% in June and a PPI report of 11.3%. But there are some signs out there of inflation moderating somewhat. I've seen gas in our neck of the woods. I've seen sub $4 for the first time in a few areas. For the first time in a long time, and food prices seem to have leveled off somewhat, that maybe that will back the Fed off just a little. There was talk of a 100 basis point hike after those red-hot consumer inflation and producer price inflation reports, but I think right now the market is expecting 75 basis points. And in the meantime, the bond market's actually done pretty well. Interest rates have come back down to around 2.75 or so, somewhere in that range. But the disturbing news is the two-year treasury. The two-year treasury is over 3 right now. Let me just check that. Let's see where that two-year is at right now. The two-year is at 3.04. Okay, so now you've got 29 basis point inversion. That's quite a bit. And that means that the market is currently pricing in, the bond market is, a recession, which we're more than likely in one right now. This is more than likely. We've more than likely have just finished the second quarter of negative GDP. But the market is always also pricing in a quick recession. Maybe it's done. 2 quarters and it's over, and then we come out of it. So we shall see. Earnings, that's the big news right now. Earnings are going to just determine the future direction of this market. I've talked about this a lot recently. The multiple has contracted about as far as it can contract, okay? It got clear down under 16 for a while. That's the multiplier. That's the price-to-earnings ratio. I use the forward price-to-earnings ratio, which looks forward at the next 12 months' expectations versus the last 12 months' actual earnings. So you've had this big contraction of the multiple. That's brought the prices down in stocks. You've seen a correction of 34% on the NASDAQ and 20-some-odd percent, 24% on the S&P 500. Now the focus is on earnings because that's the second part of the equation. And now we're starting to really get some of the big companies, especially in tech, reporting. The expectations for this quarter are about 4.5% to 5% higher than the same comparable quarter last year. We stumbled out of the start the first week. The second week we picked up some steam. And I would say this week has been pretty good so far. We had some big ones yesterday. That's why the market's up right now. When we come back, we'll talk about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 big earnings reports that have come in since we last spoke and the influence that they're having on the markets here so far today. The new article that I wrote, I submitted it last night. I said release it when the market opens tomorrow. You're always taking a chance, you know. Your message may be totally opposite where the market opens, and you look foolish. But I think I pretty much hit it right on with the article today. Now, we don't know where the market's going to close. It's Fed Day. Jerome Powell could say something in that news conference, press conference. I think he ought to just do the decision and say, you know what, I don't have a voice today. I've lost it. Well, let's not do the press conference, but I think he'll do it. And that's where some of the fireworks can happen to either side of the equation, and everyone will be listening to what the next move is. That's the way the market works. Always looking ahead to the next move, like pool playing. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Dogs Now Show. We'll be right back. Quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Okay, let's take a look at the first big earnings report from last night. Right after the market closed, the first one out of the gate was Alphabet. The stock formerly known as Google. Now, there weren't real high expectations for Google because we've had some warnings, mostly from Snap recently, on ad spending, online ad spending, digital advertising spending, and Google pretty much is the king of that market. So expectations weren't real high, but Google came in and impressed Wall Street, okay? Maybe sometimes they miss earnings by a penny or two. Maybe they miss revenue by $10 million or $20 million or whatever the case may be. But it's all about the guidance that they give going forward. And obviously Google gave guidance that excited the masses that follow Google. Google stock is up 5.1% today. That's a big move. Out of a big tech stock, one of the FANG stocks, probably the best FANG stock, along with Apple, right now. Google is now a $1.45 trillion market cap company. Its all-time high was $152. It recently hit $105. So you've had a drop of about 32%. That's pretty much in line with what the NASDAQ did from that during that same period of time. The NASDAQ down 34% from its November 22nd high. Google down about the same from high to low, from 152 down to 150. Yeah, that's about the same, 33% drop. It's been going sideways for the last 10 weeks. Google's chart looks almost like the NASDAQ, except Google doesn't have that little turn up that the NASDAQ had over the last couple of weeks. Google has still been in a sideways trend, but that's certainly a heck of a lot better than the downtrend it was in since November. Google is now starting to turn up. We'll have to watch it. It has to break through 121 to begin a new uptrend, which it has not done yet. It's at 110. It's 11 points below. It's also notable that Google did recently, during the last quarter, did a 20-for-1 stock split. Okay, instead of a $2,200 stock, it's now 110. And the thinking is that more people will be interested in buying Google at this level, even though it's half a dozen of one and six of another, It's still got the same market cap. It's still got the same P.E. ratio, which currently is at 20. I can tell you this, it was a lot higher when it was at $150 per share. The P.E. ratio was about 30 not too long ago, approaching 30. Now it's at 20. So there you go. Google up 5%. 5%. On big volume today, 10 million shares have traded hands so far today. Google, okay. Now, the second one that reported, a little company, a little unknown company out of Washington area, Seattle area, called Microsoft. Microsoft reported, actually Redmond, Washington, Microsoft reported earnings. They kind of missed earnings, they kind of missed sales a little bit, but it was all about the guidance. And the guidance for Microsoft was quite good. Microsoft continues to be one of our largest holdings two of our largest funds, our Premier Growth and our Dividend and Growth Fund. Microsoft is a dividend payer. Microsoft pays a 1% dividend. Okay. So now let's look at Microsoft. Microsoft went from 350 to 240. Okay, once again, it lost about a third of its value, 33%, right around in there. That's kind of the typical drop that we've seen here in the NASDAQ recently. Microsoft is now going sideways. It's been going sideways. It bottomed out about the same time the NASDAQ bottomed out. If you check out my article today on Seeking Alpha, you'll see the history of the NASDAQ and what it's been doing recently from a technical point of view and also from a valuation point of view. Microsoft P/E ratio is now 27, whereas it was closer to 40 back in the fall of last year. Microsoft's been building a bottom. How many weeks is that? That's a pretty almost 3 months. Building a bottom. The longer the bottom goes, the stronger will be the breakout if it occurs. Microsoft is not breaking out to a new uptrend today, but it's having a nice day. It's up 4.6% on 3 times normal volume. So a better-than-expected report from Microsoft. So there's two big companies in the S&P 500 that are probably going to lift just a little bit the overall S&P 500 estimates for this year, and even better yet, next year. Okay, the third company to check in, Texas Instruments. It's a bellwether for the semiconductor industry. Texas Instruments is now in the midst of a trend change from a downtrend to an uptrend. That's significant. Texas Instruments has a P.E. ratio of 18. Texas Instruments came in and they beat their earnings by 33 cents. But here's the key takeaway. They guided above the Q3 consensus. Okay, so they guided higher. That's the best of all worlds, to beat the earnings expectations, to beat the revenue expectations. But more importantly, the market looks ahead, and the market is reacting nicely to them guiding higher. And Texas Instruments right now is up 5.1%. It's breaking through resistance. It's starting a new uptrend. From a downtrend, there's another one. It went from 200 down to 144. That's a 32% drop. Isn't it weird how all of these big tech stocks went down about the same, along with the NASDAQ, 34%. And now they all seem to be kind of turning around in unison with one another. You know, the biggest factor in your investing is the market. The market is on a daily basis like 80 to 90% of your return. The alpha comes from that little bit, that other 10%, whether or not it's doing better than the market or worse than the market. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson with some very important earnings reports that came in last night after the close. We've been waiting for some of the big ones here, and that happened last night with a few, and we're going to have several more tonight, and we have a very good day taking place in the market. So far, we went through several companies that have reported. We went through Google, Microsoft, Texas Instruments. The next one I want to talk about is a solar stock. And I've always said, you know, if you're going to own a solar stock, Enphase is the one. Enphase makes the converters, high-tech. It's the high-tech stock in the solar energy. You know, making the solar panels is not so glamorous, not so profitable. Enphase is probably the best player in the solar industry. That's one we own. It's headquartered in Fremont, California. And Enphase had a very good report, a sensational earnings report. Enphase earnings up 68%. Oh, sales up 68%. Earnings up 109%. Triple-digit earnings. And the stock is up 14.9%. It's up $33 per share. So that makes us happy here. We do own Enphase. Enphase is currently ranked in the Best Stocks Now app. Let's just take a look. Where did it go? I got to find the ENPH. Got to type in the right symbol. Enphase is ranked number 6 out of 6,064. I hope you're using the beststocksnowapp.com. Enphase having a whale of a day here today. It's up 15.4%. We own it in our ultra growth portfolio. Market cap is $33 billion. It's a major player in the renewable energy sector. Okay, Chipotle also reported last night. We don't own Chipotle, but it is a bellwether stock for the restaurant industry, along with McDonald's and others. Chipotle is still in growth mode, much more so than McDonald's. Chipotle had a very good report. Okay, that's four in a row now. Very important companies putting out some really, really good reports. After the first week of earnings a couple weeks ago, I was not all that optimistic. I thought it got off to a slow start. But when I saw last week's earnings estimates, I talk about this in my newsletter every week. You get 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. I said I was much more encouraged after last week's. Now, this week, well, we're halfway through this week, and that's all I can say is the ones that reported last night, for the most part, very good. Chipotle's up 14.1% right now on 10 times normal volume. Chipotle is up $185 per share. They beat earnings by 26 cents. They missed estimates on sales by $40 million. But they've obviously also guided higher, okay? The other big one, Boeing, member of the Dow. Boeing seems to be back in play. You know, the market, once again, like it did in 2020, bottomed pretty much when Boeing bottomed. Boeing bottomed back in mid-May, been going sideways, and then it started to climb out of that sideways trend and pretty much matches the chart of the NASDAQ with a trend reversal from down to sideways to up. And Boeing beat earnings by, no, they missed earnings by 27 cents. They missed revenue, but they gave pretty good forward guidance. And Boeing is up 1.2% today, 1.2%. And then there's some more, which we'll get to in a bit. But now let's step back for a minute. We know that the Fed's going to the Fed is going to make a decision today. They have those CPI reports to take into account. They have the PPI reports to take into account. The moderation of oil prices will help somewhat. We've seen mortgage applications just drop off a cliff. I saw a mortgage company, I believe in Texas, that collapsed yesterday. You've got the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, yesterday trimming global growth forecast. As they say, the outlook has darkened significantly. Well, I would say especially in Europe, where this winter things may darken even more as they run out of energy. They've kind of shot themselves in the foot over there. Hopefully they can get something done before, the winter comes around. And then you get stuff like this. Okay, so the United Kingdom approved the Jackdaw gas field for Shell to drill in to provide much-needed gas and oil. But you've got a big court fight now taking place. Greenpeace said Tuesday it is planning a legal challenge against UK authorities that are allowing Shell to develop the Jackdaw gas field in the North Sea. Well, I mean, that could tie it up for a long time. Court fights don't just go away. Britain is struggling with soaring energy prices. Gas and electric regulator Ofgem has warned that the Brits could brace for another 42% increase in utility bills this fall. So you've got Greenpeace against the people of Britain, I suppose, however you want to look at it. We'll see where that goes. Europe risks a protracted gas crisis, a deep recession, economists say. European gas prices have surged 30% in 2 days after Russia said it would slash gas deliveries in half from already reduced levels. And economists warn that the continent's gas prices remain elevated for years to come. Futures contracts for delivery next month tied to TTF, the European benchmark wholesale gas price, jumped 20% on Tuesday, more than 10 times higher than the average price during the 2010 to 2020 time frame. 10 times higher. Well, would all renewable be able to supply them? Europe, with all the energy that they need, it doesn't look like it. It looks like it comes way short of that, and so they need, in fact, they've even labeled the natural gas as a renewable fuel recently, but yet they continue to struggle to get enough to light their homes and heat their homes. Equinor reported earnings last night. That's the big Norwegian oil company. I think it's down a little bit. It's up 3 cents, okay? So it didn't knock the ball out of the park. But listen to this. Their sales were up 109%, so they more than doubled from the same quarter last year. And their earnings more than tripled, 225%. This is the fourth double-digit earnings and sales report in a row, four quarters in a row of this tremendous growth at Equinor, EQNR, which was a very sluggish company for many, many years, Norway's big gas company. But all of a sudden it's being called on to help out with what is a crisis in Europe over energy. The yield on the stock, it's also a dividend payer, is 1.7%. And we'll finish with this, because this is also related to our previous stories. Range Resources CEO rips short-sighted U.S. energy policy. Okay, there's both sides to this equation. We have seen a lot of this where, you know, they say go out and pump. We need more. But the permits, the permitting delays, they're just dragging them out. The CEO said if infrastructure projects, mainly pipelines and LNG terminals, are not prioritized and given reasonable regulatory reviews, then I believe it's simply impossible to meet the growing global demand for reliable, safe, and affordable fuels. That's the CEO of Range Resources. And I think that's about the third or fourth CEO that has put out a dire warning of the future. Will we look like Europe a couple years down the road? Something to think about. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. We have a brand new article out on SeekingAlpha.com. If you just type in Bill Gunderson up there in the search bar, it should come up. It was released right at the open of the market here this morning. Let's see, what else? Consumer confidence drops more than expected in July. Maybe that will help with the Fed not do 100 basis points. New home sales drop way more than expected in June. That's kind of been a trend, obviously. And Raytheon says that their biggest problem is a shortage of skilled labor. What happened to our colleges? Are we teaching electrical engineering and all this kind of stuff, aerospace, anymore? I mean, why don't we have people that are qualified for these jobs? I'm just asking. Let's see. Okay, what's moving here today? Tonight we're going to get Ford reporting, Teladoc, Lam Research, several others. So get ready. Between now and tomorrow's show, we're going to have a Fed decision and a whole bunch more earnings reports. Well, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. But other than that, it seems to be, yes, wind and solar we're moving in that direction. But it's not going to happen overnight. It's a long, long transition. And we really don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever done the math. Could it supply all of the needs? Well, it's never going to power an airplane. It's never going to power, a cargo ship. It's never going to power our military. I mean, what if you maxed it out, what percent of the energy could it provide? Don't we have mathematicians out there that can do the math? I know they came to my house and they said, look, pal, you get about, if we put solar panels everywhere, every possible place on your house, we could get you about 50%, okay, of energy. Now, I run my office out of my house and other things, but still 50%. So I could cut my energy usage by 50%, okay, to go if I want to go all solar or continue to use a combination of electric, solar and propane. Propane is what we're on here in our neck of the woods. So anyways, the answer seems to be in a combination, and now natural gas seems to be an acceptable, and that's where the real play seems to be right now is in the natural gas. Cheniere had a tremendous day yesterday. LNG stands for liquefied natural gas. And, you know, Cheniere languished for a long time not making a lot of money because natural gas, for whatever reasons, just was kind of shuffled off. You know, it wasn't the answer to take cars and make natural liquefied natural gas out of the natural gas and convert all the cars. It was a trend for a while. There was a company out of Los Angeles that wanted to convert all the trucks at the harbor, at the port, rather, from gasoline to natural gas. And, yeah, you know, it just never – now all of a sudden it's the hot ticket, especially in Europe. So I continue to like natural gas stocks. And there's a couple of them out there on the frontier of you know, a lot of them now want to get in on the natural gas, liquefied natural gas game, whereas Cheniere has been in it for a long, long time, and they're the major player in that. But there's one, Next Decade Corp. I've mentioned this before. They're totally focused on doing what Cheniere did. They're in the early stages. That stock is up 9.9% today. It's a $6 stock. It has a relative strength of 98. It's on the small side. They don't have any earnings yet. They're losing money as they develop. They don't have any sales yet, but they want to be doing what Cheniere is doing at some point down the road. There's several of them like that. Tellurian is another one, T-E-L-L. It's been kind of moving too, but there's several in the wings wanting to help supply. I talked about one yesterday, EE, which is Accelerate Energy, is another one. So natural gas is one way to play it. And it seems like nuclear is also acceptable, even though it takes a lot longer to ramp up nuclear power. And I've seen some plays there. Uranium Energy is having a good day today. It's up 6%. That's definitely a play on nuclear energy. Cameco is another one. Cameco's up 7.9% today, which is CCG. And then, of course, solar, which is because of Enphase's earnings today. That's like the third biggest percent gainer in the entire market today. And we own it in our ultra growth portfolio. Of course, you got to look at the whole portfolio, right? I mean, I can't just cherry pick. I'm just letting you know that we own Enphase in that portfolio. It's a $33 billion company. It's up 15% today. That would be the third one that I would mention here today. Just as examples, it seems to be that the energy crisis is the biggest investable theory, the biggest investable sector, the biggest investable, you know, news out there, especially the European crisis. And there's a lot of different ways to play that. The shipping companies that transport are still in place, Scorpio Tankers and others. So that would be just what I would mention here today. It was the only sector that was up in the first half of the year. So that ought to tell you something. But now you kind of have tech coming into play a little bit. That's a good thing. All right. Well, if you'd like to set up an appointment with me, I've talked to a lot of people. I've had a good time over the last couple of weeks talking to people while Barry's been gone. I think he'll be back Monday. Doing the show with me and taking over the appointments once again. But I've had a good time. You've got today, tomorrow, and Friday if you'd like to talk to me about your portfolio. Edie sets up the appointments for us, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. And the newsletter will come out Saturday, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.